Public Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, that beacon of free speech, which you are going to want to support by going to republicbroadcasting.org and clicking on the donate button, because they haven't kicked me off. YouTube kicked me off, but Republic Broadcasting hasn't kicked me off. And go to nationalbugle.com and download the Kosher-tified app, and let's lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle. Today's Monday, and I have with me, as always, Mark Collett of Great Britain. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It is an absolute pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to be on a platform where we are wanted, a platform where, you know, the owners value freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and aren't hovering over that ban button for the slightest infraction. That's even if we have made any infractions, because when you have a set of rules as vague, woolly, and grey as YouTube do, is it possible to even know if you are abiding by the rules? Because I would say that these YouTube rules have been written in such an incredible way that you don't know if you're crossing the line. And the rules can be selectively applied to ensure that even if you haven't crossed the line, they can claim that you have, because they want rules that allow them to ban anyone at the drop of a hat.
Well, that's right. And they sent me a boilerplate message that said I had violated their hate speech rules. And they define hate speech as encouraging violence and hatred against a protected group. Well, I mean, I think the whole point of my show is saying, look, we have all these problems, and there is a nonviolent way that I've said it many times, that we can get out of this. We get out of it by knowledge. And that is Republic Broadcasting's message. Knowledge. Knowledge is key. When we understand how it is and why it is that we are losing our countries, we can reverse it, not by violence, we can reverse it, but we just don't have to put our money into Jewish banks. We don't have to listen to their media. We're not watching CNN at gunpoint. We can take away their power just by not dealing with them anymore. But to YouTube seems to need to silence people like yourself or myself who are saying the nonviolent way out. And by repressing or suppressing the nonviolent voices, then what's going to happen? People who see that there are real problems going on and they don't know the nonviolent alternative, they're going to resort to violence, like that guy in Pittsburgh. So there you go. But you've got an event coming up. You've got a something coming up. Is it tomorrow or the next day?
It certainly is. Mm-hmm. It certainly is. It's tomorrow. It's 9 p.m. UK time, which is 4 p.m. Eastern time. And it is on a channel called the Israel Advocacy Movement. And their channel are hosting a debate between myself and, count them, five different Jews.
Oh, my God!
So I'm heavily outnumbered, but I am still going to attempt to rise to this challenge. Originally, it was meant to be me against four, but now they've said it's going to be five, and they're calling it the most controversial debate they've ever hosted. Now, I think that's insane, because to say that this is a controversial debate, that, you know, we shouldn't have a homeland, that the people who
what is the question you're debating?
Well, it's about ethnostates. It's about it's about whether we have the right to our European homelands.
Mm-hmm. So I can imagine some of the their points that they might try to raise, some of their attack venues. So they're going to ask you, well, an ethnostate, what are you going to, how are you going to remove every single non-Briton or non-white from the British Isles?
Well, we don't intend, I wouldn't expect to ever return Britain to being a 100% white state. However, if it was 95%, I would be very, very happy with that. And what I would do, I would follow a system much like the Jews are actually pursuing in Israel. You see, the Jews
but
are
not too no much like it. I mean,
not too much like
not
it.
Too much like
they,
it.
They are. Well, they've got a system, and it's very funny, actually. I wonder if they've actually copied me, because a while ago they were trying to forcibly repatriate black migrants from Israel. Now they're no longer forcibly repatriating them, but they have a system of paying them to return to their ancestral homelands, much like the system that you and I have discussed many times on this show. So maybe Israeli lawmakers have been listening to me, but when I say things like a system of paid repatriation, I get shouted down. I get called a racist. I get attacked.
So, I mean, obviously, you want to keep the debate on the right of Europeans, you know, the various European nations, to their own homelands. In Israel, and you know, you could wind up getting sidetracked into the whole question of Israel's legitimacy, its legality under international law and all of that, but I think that would be a distraction. But because this is not that debate, this is my show. They've done all sorts of things. I mean, they aren't just repatriating people; they are genociding the people who actually lived there when they showed up. And so most of the things that, I mean, most of the, so
well,
much
the
of
the nation's built on ethnic cleansing. Yeah. I mean, look at the Deir Yassin massacre.
Right. And the idea of going to people who are themselves immigrants, or maybe the children of immigrants who are not blending in, and for these like Muslim immigrants, often isn't it the case that the first generation that's born there, or I guess you'd call it the second generation, the generation that's born there, are more radicalized and more alienated than their immigrant parents?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Isn't it often the case with, say, the Pakistanis or other Muslims in the UK, that the children of the immigrants who are actually born in Britain are often more radical and more alienated than their parents?
Yeah, that's absolutely the truth. I mean, probably the most famous Islamic terrorist attack in recent memory is the 7/7 bombings. Now, that took place on July the 7th. Now, those bombings, which tore apart one of the famous Red London buses, was very, very iconic. Now, they were all, the people who perpetrated that were all second generation Muslims. They were people that were born here, people who were educated here, people who were born here and were expected to have English as a first language, people who were expected to have assimilated. And the same is true of the suicide bomber who killed the young girls at the Ariana Grande concert. He was someone whose parents were of Libyan descent. They had come here as refugees, but he'd actually been born in Britain. And he returned to Libya to train as a terrorist, then came back to Britain and carried out this horrific act.
So, the idea of asking these people who are alienated, who are often radicalized, and who are certainly not assimilating and are likely not assimilable to try to build a future in a country surrounded by like-minded people with a similar culture, and that you will finance their relocation. Is that so wrong?
it's wrong at all. I don't think it's wrong on a moral level, and I certainly don't think it's wrong on a natural level. For example, we as people yearn to be around our own. That's the most natural and one of the most natural and normal drives human beings have. They yearn to be around others like them. They cluster together with people who look like them, act like them, who present in the same ways as they do, have shared morals and values, traditions and cultures. And Jews go to Israel because they want to be around fellow Jews. They want to immerse themselves in their culture. Now, something that I always find very, very interesting is that Jews here in the West have this huge loyalty to Israel. So in Britain, over 95% of British Jews have visited Israel. Over 90% believe in Israel's right to exist as a Jewish homeland. Now, that's the overwhelming majority. Yet, those same people don't extend those rights to the indigenous people of England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. In fact, quite the opposite. The same people who advocate for Israel as a homeland for the Jewish people, as a Jewish state, do not want a state that enshrines or puts the rights of British people first. In fact, they're the people calling for multiculturalism here. So it's a case of what is good for me is not good for thee. These people have this huge double standard, which is very, very damaging to the West. But it's not damaging to them. You see, if the West goes to hell, they have a bolt hole. They have a place where they can go. They have somewhere they can flee to, and somewhere where they will still have their traditions, where they can go and be around their people. But if England becomes completely multicultural, where do the English go?
I don't know. That's well, I mean, and the idea is actually they don't go anywhere. They stay, and they're a minority, and then they're basically bred out of existence. Maybe they'll carry on in tiny remote settlements like the Ainu in northern Japan, or you know, the Polynesians in Hawaii. But well, so it's very exciting. I want everybody to tune in. So how do they tune into that debate?
They can go to the Israel Advocacy Movement's YouTube page, and you can just subscribe, and it'll be there, or just turn up on the evening at 9 p.m. UK time, 4 p.m. Eastern time, and hopefully we'll have some good people in the chat to give me a little bit of moral support. I must say, I originally it was meant to be me versus three, but now it's me versus five, and I've got to say that's a lot of people to potentially be debating against on your own. But, you know, you have to take these chances. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I am grateful to them as hosts for at least allowing me on to put these points across. And hopefully I'll be able to put the points across in a succinct and, you know, educated manner. And, you know, potentially. I mean, I'm obviously not. I don't think I'm going to be winning them over. I don't think that they will be running to our aid and funding our groups. But I do think if I can win over normal white people in the audience, normal people of European descent who may be watching it with a very sort of critical, cautious, but maybe investigative eye, well, you know, if a few of them start to understand the threat that we as a people face, and the people who are in many ways behind that threat, that can only be a good thing.
So, and I'm sure that you'll have, if people could look at Mark Collett's Twitter feed, that you'll have links to guide them there. So, you know, the way I look at the situation is, yeah, you don't need to win over these five Israel advocates. That's not the point. We need to win over our own people. And I sometimes compare the situation to that of an adult, a parent, who's completely manipulated by a small child. And the small child isn't exerting physical violence. Maybe sometimes a small child might kick the parent in the knee or something, but but it's a manipulation of a different kind. And the parent, it's not that the parent needs to smash the kid in the face. The parent is much bigger, and the parent can do what the parent wants to do without being restrained by the child. And if it needs the child to do something, it can compel the child to do something. It doesn't need to use violence because it's so much bigger, and we are so much bigger, and we are the vast majority in our societies. But we have ceded control of our societies to this small tribe, to an elite that is not, it's, you know, the elite's not only Jewish, but the elite is dominated by Jews. And they have basically a veto and pretty much get their way with the elite. Not always, but they pretty much get their way. And so because we're so much bigger, if we all wake up, we just take society back. Doesn't need violence. We just don't watch. We don't watch their media. We don't put their money in their banks. We don't have to go to Starbucks, you know, or you know, patronize other Jewish enterprises if they're part of the problem, and they often are. If they're part of the problem, you know, and economic boycotts, we can do that. They use the power of their, you know, they use their economic power against us all the time. That's what they're doing with YouTube. That's what they're doing with, you know, deplatforming us from media, deplatforming us from finance. They do it all the time. We can do it, and we can do it more effectively if we're willing to. And that's what you can get out of this debate, is get another bunch of people woken up and ready to act like that. And, you know, not LARPing about some sort of race war.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It is about bringing people together. But it's also about opportunities. And I've got to say this. YouTube are clamping down. YouTube are reducing our right to speak freely. And when these things come up, I think some people have said, well, you know, you might think it's quite courageous doing this, but you're going up against odds. What do you hope to gain? What if they dogpile you? And all I've got to say is we might not have these opportunities for much longer. It could be the case very soon, in fact, where we don't have these opportunities, where, in fact, very soon we're in a situation where if we come out and say these things, we will be instantly banned from YouTube. So I think we need to take these opportunities, and we still need to say to people, there is a peaceful, democratic way out of this. Because as you said at the beginning, and it's very important, that we as people have to do things peacefully. Now, when I was put on trial in the UK for hate speech, 8 different accounts of hate speech, I said, this isn't hate speech. I said, this is a legitimate political viewpoint. And not only is it a legitimate political viewpoint, but in fact, if people like me aren't allowed to say this, if people like me aren't allowed to speak freely, if people like me can't go into communities and talk to people who are scared, angry, concerned, worried, have pent up, you know, unjustified rage at the system, those people will be all the more likely to do something foolish. Those people will be all the more likely to actually commit violent acts. Mm-hmm. But by doing things like we're doing it, by talking to people, by having proper interactions with people, we actually diffuse violence, because if people realize they have a democratic way out, they are more likely to seek peace rather than war.
Very well said. You know, they might be 5 of them, but no matter how many of them, it really, their position isn't any more tenable, because what, I mean, how could they be arguing against the proposition that Europeans have a right to European countries? Okay, well, we will be right back after the break.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. So, yeah, like I said right before the break, having extra people, there's a certain advantage in that if, one person forgets to make a point or lets something slip, the other person can come back. But when you get down to it, are they really going to be arguing the position that white people or European people don't have a right to their own homelands?
I honestly don't know. I think that they will make many different distractions. I think they will. Some of them will even try to claim that that Israel is not an ethno-state, and that's why Europe shouldn't be an ethno-state. But my answer to that is simple. Firstly, I believe that Israel is an ethno-state. Everything about Israel was set up to specifically be a Jewish state. I think arguing that it's not is absolutely pointless. What's more, they might claim that there are large Arab minorities in Israel, but there are only large Arab minorities in Israel not because the Arabs came there, but because they went and took Arab land.
And haven't all been ethnically cleansed yet.
Yeah, exactly. So I think they might throw in red herrings. But to me, the important issue actually isn't Israel at all. If Israel is or isn't an ethno-state, if Israel ceased to exist tomorrow, that wouldn't change my position. I would still want an ethno-state tomorrow if the Jews didn't have an ethno-state, because I want an ethno-state. And if Israel continues to exist tomorrow, which I'm sure it will, that won't change my position either. Nothing changes the fact that we people have an ancestral claim to England. Now, the interesting thing here, and this is the really interesting thing, the Jews' claim to Israel is based on these ancient claims to land that really would be very, very hard to justify by any modern standard. By any modern standard, a claim to land, such as the Jewish claim to land for any other people, would probably be pretty much unthinkable. In fact, by any modern standard, the English claim to England is a far more ethnically and morally viable claim than the Jewish claim to Israel. Mm. Yet the Jewish claim to Israel is upheld, whereas the English claim to England is not upheld. And it is England for everyone, but Israel for the Jews. And when you see, as well, the amount of settlements they remove, the way they treat minorities in their own country, well, that is very different to the way we treat minorities. And another key point is, we as those of European descent, we actually treat, or are forced into a position where we actually treat minorities as first-class mm-hmm. citizens. We treat minorities far better than we treat our own people.
So, for definitional purposes, the way I think of an ethnostate is not a state that's ethnically pure, but a state that is primarily run in the interests of its main ethnic group. So, you know, you could
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You could have a state that was 99% white, but if it was run to the benefit of the 1% non-white group, you would have to say it doesn't really conform to the idea of an ethno-state, yeah. which is a state that desires to be as ethnically homogenous as possible and puts that majority ethnic component first, the people who are the majority and have the claim to that land. It puts them first. Now, I believe that Israel does have a sizable Jewish majority. They certainly put that Jewish majority first. And there are some quite shocking things. I mean, this is very interesting because often David Duke talks about this, and it's very interesting because he speaks about this, you know, very often. But in Israel, it is basically not legal to actually get married to somebody of a different religious group.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, because this came up when we talked to Halsey English, and
that was homosexual marriage.
I guess it was, but it's the same. It's could be the same argument. You have to be a little careful about the way you phrase it. They might come back because the marriage in Israel is not run by it's run by religious law. And
yes.
Two people could get, like a Jew and a non-Jew could get married in Cyprus or in Greece or somewhere and come to Israel.
It's recognized, yes. Overseas marriages are recognized, but they cannot marry.
Yeah, people cannot get married in Israel. To say it's illegal to get married in Israel,
to get married in Israel. You
could get some Talmudic hair splitting. There's no legal mechanism to do it.
It is illegal. What House English was wrong on? It is illegal for different religious groups to marry in Israel, but their marriage itself is not illegal.
Yeah.
So it's like saying, you know, it's illegal to buy and this is the case.
And I'm sorry, we got to go to the break, but we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm-hmm. Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Okay, and we're back, and we're talking about the exact wording of the whether or not it's legal to get married or be married in Israel if you're from different religious communities. Mark?
Yeah, I mean, yes, it's, you know, the only entities authorized to perform weddings in Israel are prohibited from marrying couples unless both partners share the same religion. Mm. Now, if that was the case in the UK, if in the UK we had a situation where we said, well, look, I'm sorry, but to get married here, you have to be... And when they say both have to be Jewish, they are really doing that to stop intermarriage. They're doing it to stop interfaith marriage. And if that's what they want to do, to ensure that they remain on top, to ensure that their ethnic lineage, their culture and their tradition survive, that's up to them. But I can tell you now, if anybody suggested that to be a law in any Western nation, and you've got to remember, Israel is seen as a Western nation, for God, it competes in the Eurovision Song Contest. If any European nation suggested that Christians and you had to be a practicing Christian, and you could only marry another practicing Christian of a particular, you know, faith, particular Christian faith. So, if you could only marry a fellow person who was also Church of England, well, that would be absolutely frowned upon, and it would be Jews in the media who would be claiming about that, who would be complaining about that in the most vociferous manner.
Okay, so just a couple of examples. So, for instance, Thailand. Thailand is about, I don't know, 20-25% Chinese. And Chinese are very important in the economy. But and the Chinese, for the most part, aren't Buddhist. They have their own religions. But the Buddhism is respect for Buddhism is enforced. If you're insulting to the king of Siam, you're going to get thrown in prison. I think they run the society for the benefit of the ethnic Thais, even though the Chinese are economically important. Is that an ethnostate?
I think it's very difficult. You see, I think this is where they might try to, you know, wrap me up in some nonsense.
Yeah, that's why we're doing it here.
Yeah, what is an ethnostate? I think, as I said, an ethnostate, I'm not going to get into a definition of an ethnostate okay. down to exact laws, what it does and what it doesn't need. The fact is, an ethnostate is a country that acts in the interests of a particular ethnic group mm-hmm. and seeks to uphold them as the group that will be put first, will have its cultures mm-hmm. and traditions put first, and will not become a minority. They seek to protect that group
yeah.
and ensure that that group has rights over and above those who come to that particular nation.
I think Thailand would meet, and Turkey, for instance. Turkey's got a lot of Kurds, right? But Turkey is pretty obviously run in the ethnic interests of the Turks, right? Is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas Australia's got, you know, what, 80-something percent white people. Is it an ethnostate?
No, of course not. And this is the thing. Any white nation that makes any steps towards becoming an ethnostate, such as, say, even Hungary or maybe even Italy, you know, Italy have said that they don't want to take any more migrants, and they are now prosecuting people who bring migrants in, or these NGOs that are trying to land boatloads of migrants at Italian ports. They are prosecuting those people, and they are being attacked, and they are being attacked by the Jewish-led press and media.
Indeed, and of course, Italy, it had virtually no colonial empire. I mean, it had Ethiopia for a few years, that's about it. Or I guess it had Libya for a few years, but it really didn't have a far-flung empire. It never had non-white minorities. And then all of a sudden, it's being overrun. So, I don't know. So Italy didn't have a far-flung empire, but France and Britain did. So here I'm just playing the devil's advocate, and we're assuming that the devil's Jewish, all right? So that's just a joke. So you're in Britain, and you had empire, and the sun never set on your empire. So isn't this just the chickens coming home to roost? I mean, if you
no,
went
I,
to...
I don't believe it is. Mm-hmm. And I've heard this argument many times before. I've heard this argument that somehow we in Britain deserve everything we're getting because we have this mighty empire, and this empire somehow, you know, robbed the earth of everything, of all these resources, and, you know, took from these different indigenous people the world over. Well, that's actually a very false narrative, because for a start, colonialism was something that, in some ways, did inflict some bad things on other countries. But in general terms, colonialism gave far more than it ever took. We gave so much to these foreign countries. We gave so much to our colonies, and we brought things to them that they never had. And generally, the resources they took... We didn't take resources they were using. We took resources they never knew they had. Now, I'm not saying that means it's right, but it's very different going and taking gold from people who don't even know the gold's there, how to use it, never mined it, and never would mine it. It's very different taking that gold than it is taking gold from people who are mining it, are putting it to use, and are making something of it. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge distinction to make. I'm not saying it makes it any more right, but it does put it in a very different moral context. Now, the interesting thing about this is just because my ancestors may or may not have done certain things, and those certain things are now being portrayed in a very, very different and ultimately negative and disingenuous light, that doesn't give these other people a claim to Britain. It doesn't give them a claim to these lands. But the people who are claiming it gives them a claim to these lands are taking land from the Palestinians and doing so without an ounce of remorse or any form of or showing any form of contrition over what they're doing. And that shows there is again this huge double standard mm-hmm. being played out.
Mm-hmm. So Britain's biggest and most important colony was basically India, right? I mean, for the longest period of time. And if you think of India, okay, for one thing, didn't Britain build about 10 times as much railroad track mileage in India as it built in Britain itself? Obviously, India's a bigger
Britain
country.
Did wonderful things. I mean, if you look at the Indian sewage system, they are still using the sewage system that my Victorian ancestors laid. Now, that sounds comical. That sounds comical. But in India, you have people pooing in the streets, defecating in the streets. Now, I'm not being funny, but they are still using the sewage system we put down. They haven't developed a better sewage system. They haven't taken their sewage system to new heights. But to get around the fact that it's a Victorian-style sewage system, they are now defecating in the streets. They haven't come on. In fact, they are still using the infrastructure we put down. Now, you've got to see that as a huge gift. You have to see the fact that we took antibiotics, medicine, we took written languages, we took the wheel. There were African nations that didn't even have the wheel until we got there. Mm-hmm. Now, to suggest that we didn't enrich those countries is nonsensical. But to suggest that these African migrants who are now filling London with knife crime, machete attacks, and other horrors are enriching us, they are not. And we know that Israel doesn't want their African migrants. They are making moves to get rid of them. And, you know, rightly so. You know, I'm not saying that they shouldn't do that. But what I am saying is, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. If it's good for Israel, it should be good for Europe. It should be good for European nations. Because this might be an absolutely radical thing to say, but we absolutely have a right to exist.
Mm-hmm. So, so you think of British colonies like India or Pakistan or Kenya or Nigeria. And there, first of all, there really were never very many British in India. I don't think there was ever as many as 200,000 British in India at any one time. So there were, would have been less than what? Less than about a tenth of a percent of the population, and now they are gone. They didn't leave any noticeable genetic residue, right? I mean, they're just gone. I guess you got Prime Minister. Who's the Prime Minister of Pakistan? He is half British, but Imran. What's his name?
Imran Khan.
Yeah, the cricket player. But basically left behind no genetic legacy, and yet these same
that's a very good point.
And these same countries have a massive genetic imprint in Britain now.
No, of course. I mean, if you look at Britain, and let's look at England specifically. If you look at the demography of England, the 2011 census, looking at the racial groups, there was a population in England at the 2011 census of just over 53 million. Okay, and that doesn't account for censuses are very, very woolly in England, in the sense that if you think the census is bad, well, it's not telling you the full story, because generally speaking, it's your illegal immigrants, it's your people who shouldn't be here who aren't filling it out. So it's always a very, very mild look at the problem. But let's take these figures on, you know, as a fact. White British in England make up 79.8% of the population, 42 million, just over 42 million. Yet the overall white population is 85%, which totals about just over 45 million. But when you take out white British, there is roughly 11 million people who are in Britain that aren't white British. And then when you take out other whites, there is still another 8 million people in Britain in England who aren't white. And that's just England. Well, and that isn't accounting for illegal immigration.
And then how about the maternity wards? I read that the maternity wards in London, only 22% of the babies were born to white British mothers.
No, the problem is you are now finding that in certain areas of the country we have a majority non-white birth rate, and demographics is destiny. We are seeing ourselves being bred out, because one of the great lies that is pushed by the media is that immigrants are the problem, that it's immigrants, that, you know, the 600,000 people that have come into England in this time frame, they are the problem, they're the immigrants. But in 2 years down the line, they are now, they're just as English as me, because they've got a passport with a little picture in it, and underneath the picture it says English, so they're English. And the problem now is the next wave of immigrants. But that's not the case. These immigrants come in and they breed at an absolutely alarming rate, and this is causing an ethnic change in Britain, which will see white British become a minority by 2060.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are... The Israelis use this term facts on the ground, and they use facts on the ground to refer to, for instance, their settlements that they build in on the West Bank or other places. They're facts on the ground. Once they're there, and it's hard to remove them. And there's a similar concept, water under the bridge. They get the immigrants in, and the longer the immigrants are present in the country, the more there are facts on the ground. At some point, people get so entrenched that it's that they're no longer low hanging fruit; they're high hanging fruit, and you got to get to the lower hanging fruit, the easier ones first. And who knows if you're ever going to get to these high hanging fruit? But still, regardless of who is ultimately going to stay and who is going to go, you can't necessarily map all that out. You got to get the job going first, right? Do you see what I'm getting at? We got to get things going first, and can't necessarily.
Now, of course, and also what I note when I sometimes do these debates, and it can be quite frustrating, to be honest, it really can. You get into these debates, and you will have somebody who makes what I call bad faith points. And a bad faith point is, or like the points that Sargon made when he tried to argue with Richard Spencer. Richard Spencer made some really incisive points, but Sargon tried to derail the debate by saying, well, what is white? Well, a white is somebody of European descent. Well, does that include Portuguese? Does that include black people born in Europe? Do they, you know, and all of this, what about those of mixed race origin? And what people do who can't actually argue with you is they resort to what I call sixth form debating class gotchas. You know, when you're in a debating society in the sixth form, you have these little moments where you're like, but and it's not really a point that's going to win the debate, but it's a point that is made with the intention of tying up who you're debating with in an absolutely pointless series of back and forths that do not advance the discourse in any positive direction, but are designed to make it look like the person that you're debating with doesn't know what they're talking about. Because you are then just absolutely tied up in a series of definitions. A series of definitions which then become so navel-gazing and so sort of scientific and so absolutely... minuscule in their detail that it's pointless. It doesn't serve anything. And we are talking here about something that is painted really with broad brushstrokes. Because as I've said, I know Britain will never be 100% white British. But what I do know is that we should aim to get people out of this country who are not serving British interests, who are not conducive to our way of life. And that's important. Now, it doesn't matter whether the people leaving are half African, 100% African, whether they're from Iraq, Syria. If they are making a negative contribution to our country, they would be better leaving. And we will institute a number of financial incentives, just in the same way that Israel does, for those people to leave.
And financial incentives, and also by putting the interests of the native British first, doing away with, halal butchery and certain other things, not bending over backwards for them. Right.
We're a nation of animals. Well,
let's finish that point on the other side of the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news?
Welcome back. So we're just going to finish this up, a kind of a preview of the debate that Mark is going to be having with five Israel advocates tomorrow afternoon or evening if you're in Europe. So you've never talked about kicking in doors and forcibly removing people, putting them on cattle cars or whatnot. You want a society that is, A, it's going to be aimed at the interests of the British people, the native British people, B, that it's not going to entice immigrants to come and stay with all these generous welfare programs that are often preferential to the immigrants over native Britons, and see financial enticements to those who would be better off seeking their future elsewhere. So there's going to be a lot of self-selection there. People the idea is people wouldn't want to stay in a country that isn't bending over backwards for them, and that is giving them an option to go elsewhere. That's the basic idea, right?
Well, look, very simple, very simple. Great way to start this final bit of the discussion is they have to speak English. If you're in England, you've got to speak English. If you're in England, you have to speak the native tongue. You're not going to go. You see, if you go into some areas of this country, like Leicester or Bradford, for example, and you go into a maternity ward, not only is it chock full of people who are not indigenous European people, but every one of them has got a paid interpreter by their bedside. Well, how much is that costing us? How much is that costing us as taxpayers? Well, how about, before we even put white people first, how about we just have real equality? And that if somebody comes here and doesn't speak English, they pay for their own interpreter. Because pretty soon, these people wouldn't be coming here. If they weren't being given free healthcare, if they weren't being given free interpreters, if they weren't being given council houses, preferential treatment when it comes to the benefit system, they would not be coming here. And the fact is, Israel gives first-class citizenship to Jews. Mm. And here in Britain, we give first-class citizenship to whichever immigrant was the last one to hop off the boat.
Mm.
And somewhere down that scale, as seventh class citizen, is the white English, the white straight Englishman.
Did you ever see
what we want to change.
Did you ever see the Murdoch cartoon where Dr. Murdoch and Murdoch were walking around complaining about being sixth class citizens, and then the Chinese invade, and suddenly now white people are second class citizens, and they're just
love that episode. and they even comment that they love the food, it's higher culture, and they're much better off as second class citizens than they are seventh class. And that makes an important point, though, because, you know, I've heard this from, I have white friends living in China, and they all say they are treated better and with more dignity and respect in China than they are here in Britain.
Yeah. That's sad. Well, I know you're going to do really well in this debate. I'm looking forward to it. I think I'll make sure that I get to witness it firsthand. It's going to be great, and I think all the audience should. And if you know how to comment, you can comment, right? You can comment as it's happening.
You can. There will be live chat, and you know, anyone there in the live chat, anyone there who's there and is being supportive of myself, I'm very, very grateful to anyone who'll be watching, and anyone in the live chat who is obviously there, you know, giving me a bit of bit of cheering from the sidelines. It'll be very warmly received, and I'll thank you in advance. Hopefully it'll be a very, very interesting discussion.
I'm sure it will be. Okay, well, and I'll look forward to talking to you about it next week on this show. Thank you for coming on, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
listening to Republic Broadcasting.